Welcome to Awaken Memphis. As you guys are fellowshipping and saying your hellos, let's just gather together and worship this morning. I know I'm excited to hear from the Lord this morning. Before we hear from His Word, let's just lift Him up and magnify Him. Lord, we welcome You here, Jesus. Father, we welcome You here. Holy Spirit, we welcome You here. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see You. I want to see You. Yes, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see You. I want to see You. To see You high and lifted up, shining in the light of Your glory. Pour out Your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see You. I want to see You. Yes, Lord, we want to see You. Open the eyes of our hearts, Lord. Open the eyes of our hearts. We want to see You. We want to see You. To see You high and lifted up, shining in the light of Your glory. Pour out Your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. High and lifted up, shining in the light of Your glory. Pour out Your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. I want to see You. You are holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. We want to see You. Sing it again. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. We want to see You. High and lifted up. See You high and lifted up, shining in the light of Your glory. Pour out Your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. High and lifted up, shining in the light of Your glory. Pour out Your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. Yes, You are holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. We want to see You. Yes, Lord, we want to see You, Jesus. Yes, Lord, we press in. We press into Your presence. This morning, Lord, we want to see You. We're going to see you in a new way this morning, like we've never seen you before.
Amen.
Well, we want revelation. We want fresh oil this morning. Lord, give us courage. Give us strength. Oh, Lord, you are the hope of the world. And we want to spread that hope. Yes, Lord. I need you more than yesterday. I need you more than words can say. I need you more, like never before. I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord. I need you more than yesterday. I need you more than words can say. I need you more, like never before. I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord. More than the air I breathe, more than the song I sing, more than the next heartbeat, more than anything. Lord, as the time goes by, I'll be by your side, because I never wanna go back to my old life. I need you more than yesterday. I need you more than words can say. I need you more, like never before. I need you, Lord. You more than yesterday. I need you more. Oh, more than words can say. I need you more, like ever before. I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord. More than the air. More than the air I breathe, more than the song I sing, more than the next heartbeat, more than anything. Lord, as the time goes by, I'll be by your side, because I never wanna go back to my old life. More than yesterday, I need you more. More than words can say, I need you more than ever before. I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord. We need you, Lord. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieve. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first let's join him. I find life, I find peace, I find joy. Sing it out. I find life, I find peace, I find joy. Only in you, Jesus. I find life, I find peace, I find joy. We declare, I find life, I find peace, I find joy. We find life, we find life, we find peace, we find joy. We find life, we find peace, we find joy. As your river runs by me, as your river runs by me, we find life, we find peace, we find joy. As your river runs by me. Thank you, Jesus. What a privilege to be able to be surrounded by your presence, Lord. Only by Jesus, that blood, that precious blood of Jesus, is it possible for us to be a temple of the Holy Spirit. No longer needing to go into the Holy of Holies, the Holy of Holies is within us. Oh Lord, we just want to honor you and please you with these temples. Oh, we want to share with the world what you can do. Thank you, Lord, for that amazing grace. We once were blind, but now we see. Lord, speak to us this morning. Open our eyes, open our ears. We love you, we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Paul Berkus and Alvin McKinney, and leading us to the throne room so much. Get that flag off the ground. Would you all stand, please, for the Pledge of Allegiance by Ray Bratcher. Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Amen. Jake, could you come up here and open us in prayer, please? Jake is a pastor of Eagle Heights Church. He's a pastor of Paul Berkus, who leads worship for us. And Jake has a program every Sunday morning on KWAM at 7:30. And then he follows, or he precedes, Paul Berkus has an hour from 8 to 9 o'clock. Jake?
Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we just bless you and we honor you this morning. God, we're privileged this morning to be able to come into that river that we just sang about, the river of God, where your presence fills us full to overflowing, where our cup runneth over, where you prepare a table before us, even in the presence of our enemies. But Lord, we just thank you so much for the honor and the joy, the unsurpassing joy of being able to gather with our brothers and our sisters in unity from all different walks of life and celebrate your presence, to worship you in the beauty of your holiness, in the wonder of your majesty. Lord, you are our all in all, our all sufficiency this morning. For it is in you that we live and move and have our very being. You are the bright and the morning star of our lives. And we give you all the glory and all the honor and all of the praise that is due your most wonderful and matchless name, the name above every name. For we say, as King David said, who can compare to you, O God? There is none, no, not one, none in heaven nor on earth. None can compare to you, Lord. And we just thank you, Father, that you are coming into this place afresh and anew this morning. Let the train of your robe fill this temple this morning, and let the King of glory come in and invade our hearts and our lives this morning. Oh, Spirit of the living God, would you fall afresh and fall anew on us? Fill us up, God. Make us a fresh wineskin this morning, God, so that we can be full of something new and something fresh. We don't want to leave this place the same way that we came in, God. We didn't get up early this morning to encounter something old. We got up early this morning to encounter something new because we know that your promises are yes and amen. Your word declares that your mercies are new every morning. And so, God, we stand in faith and we believe that we're going to receive a fresh touch and a fresh word, leaving supercharged from the King of Glory this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Brother Jake. Before Vince comes up here and delivers a word to us, I've asked Dr. Tim Foster to take about 15 minutes to sort of whet our appetite on what he's going to address all of next week. We hear so much about what's happening with the mandate and the vaxes and the mask and the no mask. And this is a medical doctor. His wife is a medical doctor. Tim and his wife both show up every Sunday afternoon out at Shelby Farms with their family to help sow the seed. We had an incredible Sunday last week. I think we had 12 brand new people that had never been with us before that came out to share the gospel. We had, I think, close to 22 to 25 people. So, Tim, come and share with us what the Lord has put on your heart, and then Ben will come and introduce Pastor Vince. This is Dr. Tim Foster.
Good morning, everybody. So there's joy in the house of the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Yeah, so there's going to be a couple little sound effects. First, I want to introduce my friend, Pastor Jerry Jordan. I'm so grateful he joined me this morning. And he and his wife, Julie, have been new friends of our family for the past two-thirds of a year during all this crisis. And thank you for giving me the opportunity to speak, Dave and Henry and everybody. All right, so here's the first sound effect. It goes right into the bridge, and you can join me if you want. You are the potter. I am the clay. Mold me and make me. This is what I pray. Change my heart, O God, make it ever true. Change my heart, O God, may I be like you. So in a lot of our Monday night prayers, we've been praying for awakening. And awakening probably sounds something like this. And it's kind of an uncomfortable sound. And so I feel, I'm not just being silly. I feel like God did that for me over this past year and a half. I've got a wonderful wife, and she saw that I was working in a way that was burning me out and burning her out and burning my kids out. And she asked me over a period of about a year and a half to consider radically cutting my work schedule. And so I finally did last August of 2020. So I've been a family physician here in Memphis since 2010. I came here to work with Christ Community Health Services. I worked initially on Broad Avenue, then I worked with the homeless van, and then I worked in Fraser, seeing the full gamut of family medicine. And since August of 2020, I've been waiting for the next thing. And I think God has provided it, thank God. I'm working on applying for a telehealth service that's starting up to treat COVID. So that's my new thing. During that time, I've had a lot of time to read, pray, think, and consider things I never had before. And one thing I never knew before in all the 15 years that I'd practiced was I was giving a lot of things to a lot of patients without knowing much about them. And this is an embarrassing kind of awakening. The example I'll give is MMR vaccine, which a lot of parents believe has caused their children autism. I'm not averse to any kind of debate in medicine, and that's why I think those parents deserve a whole lot more respect than they get. And there's never been any kind of large randomized prospective trial looking at an unvaccinated population of kids versus a vaccinated population. That's never happened despite it being asked for so many times. And I've learned some of this from Robert Kennedy and his Children's Health Defense. I've got a couple websites up here that I'd like y'all to take down. The first one is openvares.com. And if you've heard of VAERS, it's the Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System, which is the passive reporting system. So it's not active government surveillance. It's not a scientific study of side effects of vaccines, including these new vaccines, the COVID vaccines. It is a passive system, and it's difficult to navigate. It's been studied by the federal government in 2011 and found to be between 10 and 100-fold underreported, very consistently underreported. I think most of my colleagues believe it's overreported. I talked to the boss who hired me at Christ Community, and he believes it's overreported because of filling out death certificates, and he saw that, you know, now they have a box to check if the person had COVID or not when they died. And then he got a follow-up call from the CDC, which he felt was very, very diligent of them. And based on that and an appeal to authority, a discussion with a friend of his who's an infectious disease physician, my extremely competent boss, my Jesus-loving boss, my boss who serves the poor and he's got everything right about him and his character and his family and everything else and his medical competence, his education, and just the quickness of his brain and all of this and his answer to COVID side effects is an appeal to authority and a couple anecdotes about death certificates. And he gave me about an hour and a half on a day that he really wanted to talk to my wife, but my wife was late. He gave me about an hour and a half to try to convince him of my case, and he just was kind of unmoved. This was about 8 months ago. And my heart is getting more and more broken about this, because you may have noticed in the Christian world, there is not a lot of debate about COVID vaccines. I was up really late last night because before I talked to you all, there was a tantalizing website that I'd never been on called Christians and the Vaccine with a man named Gordon Chang from Fuller, and he interviews Richard Stearns from World Vision, and he interviews a lot of Christian leaders. And I saw, you know, as I was starting to prepare for this, I saw a list of the names of Christian organizations and pastors that are in full-on support of everybody in the world getting a COVID shot. And I know probably many of you have had one or two or three, and I don't want you to hear anything I'm going to say today or next week, Lord willing, if we're all still here, as condemnation of any kind. I just want you to hear the little rooster crow, because I watched some of Gordon's, he used to be a pastor, so I'll call him Pastor Gordon. I watched some of Pastor Gordon's videos, and I read all the rest of the transcripts, and there were about a dozen of them, Christians and different aspects of the COVID debate that are relevant to Christians. And I've got another song for you, and it goes like this. It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood, a beautiful day for a neighbor. Would you be mine? Could you be mine? And I could hear the little trolley in the background as it went from the FDA to the CDC. And then, you know, Mr. Speedy Delivery, Mr. Fauci, come along and say, oh, I don't have much time, but here I am for you, Mr. Rogers, and I'll just drop off a little letter for you that says, continue to listen to everything the CDC says, because that will always steer you right, and please don't ask any uncomfortable questions, but I really have to go. And the trolley just moves along from one place to another, because we are all in such a very happy world where nobody's compromised, where there are no conflicts of interest, where there are no rigged studies intentionally killing the participants in the study. And there, Paul, and I didn't get to look up this verse, and maybe somebody knows where it is in his letters, but he says, in matters of, brothers, don't be children. Be children with regard to malice, I believe it is. But in regard to understanding, be men. So there's a word for children, it's called conspiracy theorist. There's another word for children called anti-vaxxer. I guess that's a person who wants all people who don't get vaxes or who get vaccines to die or something like that. Just like there's a species of people out there who are just bad. They're just so bad. And so everybody who talks on the other side of this issue has to start by saying, I'm not an anti-vaxxer, but these are childish ways to think. And the term conspiracy theorist is a childish term, but there is an adult term, and it's called regulatory capture. And if you ever want if that's an unfamiliar term to you, just it is sort of a technical term. Robert Kennedy's interview with Tucker Carlson on Tucker Carlson Today, not tonight, but today. It's a one-hour interview. Robert F. Kennedy Jr. and Tucker Carlson on regulatory capture and this whole issue of COVID vaccines is a very good primer on what's happened to our institutions and how revolving doors have formed, and it's certainly not just with regard to COVID vaccines. I mean, it's with regard to many, many pharmaceuticals. It's with regard to food products, things that our regulators, the EPA, that our regulators regulate not on behalf anymore of the citizens. There is a one thing you'll find if you go to Christians and the Vaccine is that there is a huge attitude of good Christians trust. And the theological point that's being made in that talk is that trusting other people, and even to the point of trusting institutions, although they are sinful, is practice for trusting God. And that's such a beautiful point when it's applicable. It's a beautiful point when it's applicable. It's not applicable very much with regard to our government anymore, and all anyone needs to do is sort of scratch the surface, and that becomes really apparent really quick. That I'll go back to Pastor Chang's theological point again about although they are sinful, we trust our government to pledge allegiance to our flag. We trust our government to put our mails in the mailbox and to do lots of things. And we know there's, you know, naughtiness out there, but we kind of figure, you know, it's being regulated. Just examine for a moment the reason that you trust. We trust for a good reason, and it's that our founding fathers took sin seriously. And because they did, they set up checks and balances, and they assumed sin. They assumed, you know, power corrupts and absolute power corrupts absolutely. They assumed these things, and they planned for it. So they set, you know, the three branches of government against each other, and they set up the Electoral College, and they set up local versus federal, and state versus federal, and local versus state. And they set up many, many systems to minimize the power of sin. And that could work forever if we all had a heart of liberty to maintain it, and an adequate, see, in my view now, and again, this is a conversion for me, because I was giving all these vaccines, asking no questions. I'm not saying I'm never going to give a vaccine again. I am saying every pharmaceutical deserves a strong analysis of risks and benefits, and that's messy. And then once you know those risks and benefits for that pharmaceutical, it takes a while to inform the patient, and then they get iffy about stuff, and it's not a five-minute visit that you can just, you know, please your admin department at the end of the week that you saw 200 patients this week or something like that. Okay, it becomes a lot more messy and a lot more complicated, and we physicians are disincentivized in every way imaginable from going down any of these rabbit trails. So it's just so much nicer to think of the world as a Mr. Rogers world where everybody's trustworthy, where everything the NIH says is perfect and beautiful, where everything the CDC says is perfect and scientific and ethical. It's just not true, unfortunately. And I've just a couple more minutes left today, so I think my purpose today was to whet your appetite for a men's or women's understanding just not a child's understanding. And I'm not accusing anyone here of being childish. I'm accusing myself of being childish because I was for so long. And the only reason I've gotten any view now is because God has broken through for a lot of people. And by grace, he's let me see a ray of light. God help us, we are sick as a country. And this is Isaiah chapter 1. Hear, O heavens, listen, O earth, for the Lord has spoken. I reared children and brought them up, but they have rebelled against me. The ox knows his master, the donkey his owner's manger, but Israel, the United States, does not know my people, do not understand. Ah, sinful nation, a people loaded with guilt, a brood of evildoers, children given to corruption. They have forsaken the Lord, they have spurned the Holy One of Israel, they've turned their backs on him. Why should you be beaten anymore? Why do you persist in rebellion? For your whole head is injured. Your whole heart is afflicted. From the sole of your foot to the top of your head, there is no soundness, only wounds and welts and open sores, not cleansed or bandaged or soothed with oil. I believe this is the state of our nation when you consider $23 trillion in missing money, when you consider a debt, of known debt that's avalanching, when you consider that the QAnon movement and the Pizzagate movement were completely maligned as if anyone having any interest in child sex trafficking was somehow a pre-terrorist. Anyone having an interest in a fair and integrous election, a terrorist. The weaponization of the FBI, the weaponization of the IRS, you know, the fact that Pornhub is by far the most visited site in the world. It's like porn is 30% of web traffic, apparently. A third of the children, I believe it is, in California don't know what gender they are, quote, quote. I should really say what sex they are. There's only one word. Gender is a grammatical term, not a biological term. Our whole head is sick. We are in very, very deep trouble, and COVID is only the latest chapter. So for us to live as if the trolley is going by and every little stop, every little three-letter agency is just so sweet, and ain't it all sweet, and ain't it all under the flag, this flag has got to be fought for. The red and the white is the blood. You know, the white, I believe, is the purity of Jesus. The red is the blood of Jesus. And then it's the blood of those who lay down their lives to fight to preserve liberty and to preserve the knowledge that liberty only comes when we believe there's such a thing as sin. But when we just start smiling and as I did for 15 years and just going on to a database and say, "Woo, this patient's got this." It's become cookbook medicine. This patient's got this trusted source called UpToDate who gets their information from NIH is always going to be right. So I don't even have to think. I just use the medical equivalent of a Google search on any patient I've got a question about. This is how your doctor operates, folks. So I've got to wrap up this morning, and that doesn't get into any of the nuts and bolts, and it's a very, very hard case to make. I realize this when you know Franklin Graham and every leader, but I could go down a huge long list of basically the monolith of Christian organizations all saying, everybody go get your shot, and oh, another booster, okay. Everybody be a good citizen and obey the government about this. Government is legitimate when it's legitimate, and God gave us a constitution that takes human sin seriously, and we do not anymore.
Tim's a soul winner, and he's out there every Sunday with his wife and his child. They have an adopted child from Pakistan, and probably one of the greatest acts of love I've ever seen. To adopt a child that you know is physically challenged in a wheelchair. Ben, if you could come up, I want to have you introduce your associate and lead us in prayer. And Ben brought a great word last week. We still have some of his notes up here if you missed the notes last week, Ben. Oh, Ben has a program at 1 o'clock.
1:30.
1 o'clock is Greg Davis. You're 1:30. All right.
Finding your place in the story of grace. That's our 1:30 program on KWAM 990. It's my pleasure and joy to introduce Reverend Vincent Sanders. Vince and I became acquainted a couple years ago, and I'll say this about him. He is the most transparent and man of integrity that I've ever worked with. Vince was at a It's kind of a low place in his life, and if everyone would be that truthful and that honest, I mean, you can really move forward. So Vince has become an associate pastor at our church. He's a great preacher. You're going to enjoy him today. And the best thing I can say, he's very well prepared. He's educated and all of that. But more than that, he's a man of God. So let's bow our heads in prayer. And Vince, if you would, make your way on up here. Vince and I are twin brothers. You know, we both have the same nature and all that. But Vince, come on up here, and I want to pray for you, please. And my dear brother, he's easy man to love. Father in heaven, we thank you and praise you for the grace that you have bestowed on all of us through your Son, Jesus Christ. And we are complete in him. I thank you, God, for the gifting and anointing that you have given my brother Vince. I pray that you would just let him flourish in all that you've gifted him to be this morning. And Lord, give us hearts to hear. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Let the church say amen. Amen. Happy Tuesday. Good morning.
Good morning.
Somewhere in the Bible, somebody said that they went to take a look at some land, and they came back with a report saying, "There are all giants over there, and we're like grasshoppers." That's how I feel this morning. Since I've been coming here for the last couple of years, I've listened to scholars, giants in theology. I've listened to men who are well-traveled. I've not traveled that much. I've listened to testimony that I wish that I had. That's not my story. Feel this small when I compare my life to some of yours. God bless you. But today, we come together as one. We're on the same platform. We sit in the same chair. We serve the same God. If you let me put a little chocolate on how I do things, go with me in my personal devotion as I get myself together. And if you know it, just hum with me just for about 5 or 6 seconds. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm was blind, but now I see. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you now. We thank you for this opportunity to come to you, to the throne of grace. Father, we thank you for coming with the spirit of love and the spirit of unity. You've taught us that we can come boldly as your children, Father. Lord, we bring all of our concerns, all of the things that we worry about. We carry our government with us. We carry our family relationships with us. We carry our financial relationships. Lord, we bring all the things that we carry to your throne for your help, Lord. But God, we don't just carry those things. We bring our praise and we bring our worship to you because you said that you are good and you're God alone. God, we thank you. Now, I don't know about anybody else, but I shout from the pit of my heart. Hallelujah to your name. Glory to your name. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. Thank you for an opportunity to preach your gospel. Thank you for an opportunity to exercise my gift. Thank you, Lord. Bless your name, Jesus. In Jesus' name I say, amen. 1 Corinthians 12. I don't know about you, but that felt pretty good to me. Just want to, do I have to have this thing in my face?
This is just a backup.
Just a backup. Bless the leadership of this ministry here. This is a great thing. Amen. 1 Corinthians 12, 1 through 14. I know I'm not supposed to read that many scriptures when given a message, but it's relevant. Now about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I don't want you to be uninformed. Verse 2, you know that when you were pagan, somehow or another you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. Verse 3, therefore I want you to know that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says Jesus is cursed. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Verse 4, there are different kinds of gifts. Here, there it is right there. But the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but all of them, and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Verse 7, now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the good. Verse 8, to one there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom, and another a message of knowledge, by means of the same Spirit. Verse 9, to another faith, by the same Spirit, and another gifts of healing. Verse 10, to another miraculous powers, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits, to another speaking in different kinds of tongues, and to still another the interpretation of tongues. Verse 11, all these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one just as he determines. Who's he? Jesus. Here it is. We're talking about unity and diversity here. Those first verses talked about the differences of spirits, the gifts that we all have in this room. We all look different, but we get all of our gifts and all of our talents from the same Spirit. But here it is, verse 12. But as a body, though one has many parts, but all its many parts form one body. So it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit, so to form one body, whether Jew or Gentile, slave or free, and we were all given the same Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. May the Lord add a blessing to the readers and hearers of his word. Let me find my message now. Diversity. Diversity is a good thing. It has its place. It makes up the beauty and art of our humanity. It'd be a terrible thing if we all looked alike, you know, like me and Ben. It'd be a terrible thing if we all liked the same foods every day. Diversity has its place. It also plays a part in separation, and it plays a part in animosity. I want to talk to you about 3 points today. One, what's going on? Two, the gospel of Jesus. Three, the goodness of God. What's going on? Well, are our current events, our political affiliations, our country is so charged right now, so charged up, supercharged up right now, based on our political condition. We're separated from east to west. Our political condition won't even let us come to Jesus, because I heard Ricky Floyd say that our politics has now become our new religion. I thought that was one of the most profound statements I've ever heard. We are so divided in our mindset about what happens in our government. But when we come to Jesus, we have to learn to forgive and forget about our politics, because right now, politics are not about our heart. Our social relations are struggling in many places, in big part about ethnicity. Because I don't look like you, I have to take a back seat to you. This has been happening for a very long time. Me and my brilliance went into, I work on houses. I went to a man's house. He was Irish. He had this deep Irish accent. And see, I'm from the inner city, Memphis. Born and bred, you know, I got an extensive travel portfolio. So this man says, I'm Irish in his accent. And all I know about the Irish is about that much. Well, let me cut that in half. He says, I'm Irish. And I says, well, is it cold in Irish like they say? In Ireland like they say? He says, no, that's Iceland. I said, well, maybe you didn't hear me. I said, is it cold in Ireland like they say it is? He says, no, that's Iceland. I said, oh, well, let me try this one. I said, the only other thing I know about Ireland, I said, do they drink like they say they do? He says, that's another stereotype, right? I says, I guess it is. But to me, it was knowledge. That's all I knew. He had his comment about that, and then he shared with me, and I'm going somewhere with this, and then he shared with me, because I asked him another thing. I said, I got one more thing, because I'm a brilliant man. He says, I said, because all I know about the Irish, anybody know this pose? I say, are they angry and fight like they say they do? He said, oh, that's another stereotype. But all I know about that was the fighting Irish. A mascot. You don't know me. I don't know you. But this man, in the spirit of unity, he didn't get upset with me at my ignorance. He didn't judge me about my ignorance. He helped me. Social relations. This man told me, he said, I'm gonna share something with you, Vince. He said, there was a time in history that the Irish came to this country, to the South. Blew my mind when he said this. He said, they made the Irish do jobs and that they didn't want the slaves to do, because the jobs were so dangerous that it would very possibly kill them. And he said they would not let the slaves do the jobs because the slaves was a systematic machine and they didn't want to lose their property. So they made the Irish do it. Blew my mind. Blew my mind. But it schooled me. When you don't know somebody, don't judge anybody. Our economy is volatile because people are uncertain of too many things. But we all serve the same God, right? And you wonder why the church seems to be losing power. And in our families, we have all of the things that we talk against. We have the gays. We have the split in politics. We have the people who watch pornography. We, in our family, we have those who get abortions. And each and every last one of us, on either side, whatever political affiliation you are, we all say we love God. But how are we going to come together in our families when we can't even get together in God in our own families? I don't see anybody smiling. But the body of Christ is divided because of personal perspective. Why? Because whatever we are, whoever we are, wherever we are, whatever our affiliations are, we all claim to love Jesus. As long as Jesus fit our personal narrative. But we soon forget him when it's time to come together. We even label ourselves. We label ourselves Baptist. We label ourselves Kojic. We label ourselves United Methodist, EMC, Church of Christ, Life Church, Bible Church. We put names on ourselves, but Paul says, he asks a question in chapter 3, 1 Corinthians, are you still worldly? For since there's jealousy and quarreling among you, are you not worldly? Are you not acting like fleshly people? Listen, church, I'm trying to get myself together now because I'm almost going to get ahead of myself. What's going on in our communities are all the things that we struggle about. It could be your son has been arrested. I got a phone call like that once. I was at work. My son said to me, Pop, I'm answering the phone. What's up, son? Doing what I do. Let me call you back. He said, okay. Hung up the phone, called right back. Hello? I see that phone call right back. I know something's wrong. He calls me right back. He says, Pop, so what's up, son? Says I'm locked up. Boom. my heart set down, because my son had found trouble. Am I so different from you? Did you ever get the phone call that made your heart sit down? At that time, when that phone call made your heart cry out to the Lord, were you interested in your politics then? Were you interested in your education then? Were you interested in your bank account then? When you get the diagnosis about you in stage 4 cancer, and you don't have an appetite, are you interested when you learn that you're now a caregiver at the age of 73 years old? It doesn't matter. What you want to hear then, let me back up a little bit. Those current events are all part of our lives. Let me move to my next point. Let me transition here, because I got to get to the last part of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Scripture tells us that my Lord and Savior was born for one reason, just to save me. When I say me, I'm talking about you or me, you or me, you or me, you or me, you or me. My Lord is your Lord. That's what the text says. His spirit is my spirit. My spirit is your spirit. God came to save me. He came to save me from my alcoholism. He came to save me from my sicknesses. He came to save me from my blindness. He came to save me from my muteness. He came to save me from a rotten mindset. He came to save me from worldly damnation. He came to find me when I'm in a place in my prayers. And I've been talking to God a long time. I said, Lord, I've been waiting on you. I'm in a place now. Oh, God, I'm getting chills. I'm in a place now where I've been waiting on you a long time. And it seems like your word is not working for me. I don't know what to do. I don't know where to go. I don't know what to say. God, where? Where are you? I keep my head bowed and I said, Lord, come find me. Wherever I am, I need you to come and get me. Come see about me. Because I'm lost and I can't find my way. Does that have an age on it? Does that have a gender on it? Does it have a race on it? Does it have a political affiliation on it? Does it have a bank account on it? Does it have travel experience on it? When you are lost, you need God to find you. God, come and save me. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for walking this earth and proving and leaving it on record that you are God and that you understand. Showing me that only man can't walk on water, only a God can do that. Man can't speak to the winds and the waves and call it by name. Peace be still in the winds and the waves. Listen. Man can't do that. Only a God can do that. Man can't speak to a man's blind eyes and tell him to see. Only a God can do that. Thank you, Lord, for proving to me that you are God. And that you are able to do all things but fail. And then you're so personable and interactive, loving and caring. And you told old Vince, I love you. I know where you are. So when, that's my second point, the gospel of Jesus. He made that power accessible to me when he marched them up Golgotha Hill. They pinned him on the cross. He carried my sins with him, bled blood and water when they jabbed him in the side. I got news for you. You know what the gruesome thing about that is when I hear about that? For just to read it, it's one of those things that they want to make sure it, my Lord had already given up the ghost. I'm thinking they just kind of stuck him in his side a little bit. But when you really read it, they wanted to make sure Jesus was gone. They took a spear and they ran that thing through his side, up through his heart, through his lungs, all the way through. Blood and water came spilling out. My Lord paid a sin debt for me. He died. He was gone. His friends took him down. They put him in a borrowed tomb. 3 days later, he got up with all power. Power to conquer even my mindset. Power to win battles in my head when I'm confused. Power to know what I'm thinking before I even think the thought. Power to lead me down the right path when I want to go down the wrong path. Power to protect me when I'm walking in a bad situation. Power to teach me what the things I need to know. Oh, I'm in here by myself. So now, the third point. When I'm hurting, when I'm lost, I got things going on in my current events in my life. What's going on around the world is not that important to me. The gospel of Jesus Christ has put value on my life, and now I'm told that I can walk in the goodness of God. The most important thing about the goodness of God is his love. God didn't make himself manifest because he cares about you a little bit. The immense love that God has for you, we sing a song at our church. He said, there's nothing in God's way that he won't kick down to get to you. There's no valley that he won't go down to get you. There's no mountain he won't climb to find you. When you get that news and you're in despair and you're having a hard time, don't come to me with trivial, tangible things. Think you're going to find my heart. Come to me with a report of the goodness of God. Tell me to think on the good things. Remind me that God is not the accuser. Remind me to keep on going. When I'm discouraged, encourage me. When I'm afraid, give me some strength. When I'm weak, go with me. When I don't know, educate me. Listen, the book of Genesis tells us about a great scattering at the Tower of Babel. But here in this room, what I'm talking to you now is about an act in the book of Acts. It's a great gathering. We are of one spirit, one Lord, one God, one baptism. We, the people in this room, represent what God says that we are. We are his temple. We are his handiwork. We are his body. When it's time to minister to the man who's lost in his spirit, he don't want to hear about current events in your life. He needs to hear about the goodness of God. Share your testimony about how good God is. If he will do it for me, somebody say it with me. Help me preach it. He'll do it for you. May God bless you. Amen.
Great word, Vince. Great word. Great word, brother. Thank you so much. Thank you, Brother Ben. Thank the world of your staff with Roosevelt Brooks. Roosevelt leads worship at Grace Community Church, and Roosevelt and I have been to Puerto Rico and Dominican Republic and the prisons, and that really, really ministered. Thank you so much. Amen. Everyone has a copy, several of these on the table. It's a 2022 calendar. It has a little information about Awaken. It has the address on there. As you go through the week, you may be able to invite somebody by giving them a 2022 calendar. But if you turn it over on the back side, it's the gospel presentation. Take some of these with you and hand them out. This is a great opportunity to share a witness. If you're free on a Sunday afternoon, 3 to 5, we're inviting you to come out to Shelby Farms. Everybody in here has a testimony. You have a testimony that you can share about your conversion, about your story of being transformed by the mighty, mighty, mighty grace of God. Dan, could you come up here and share 365 real quick, what's going on? And then I'm going to have you pray and have Henry come up and challenge us with a great commission. This brother right here is helping coordinate a citywide prayer effort. The thing that's really close to our heart here in Awaken is to get people to intercede for our city, to get the church engaged. My house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations. And I don't care what your church is doing, if you're not a house of prayer, you're missing what God's called us to do, and that's to be intercessors, to be gatekeepers, to be watchmen on the wall. Dan.
Thank you so much. Good morning, and thank you so much for this opportunity. Well, I'm humbled every time I come here. God bless you, Bill. To hear the word of God spoken in so many different ways and, you know, with different lenses, because we see it very differently. I'm grateful for that, by the way. You know, I always say, God loved me so much, he gave me a little black. He gave me a little white. So I get to hear from both sides. Man, it's so, it's beautiful. I mean that with all my heart. There's a diversity that's so deep, if we could get to it, you won't want to be anywhere else. I literally hear from both sides. When I get to share from my black side to my white side, it's rich. When I get to share from my white side to my black side, it's very rich. So I'm grateful. That comes at a deep level of prayer. We're praying 365 days, 24 hours a day. I'm asking 365 churches to register for just one day. So for instance, I have a small church. We register for April the 1st. They do it different ways. Some people take 1 hour to get 24 people to sign up for 1 hour. Some do Zoom for 24 hours, the whole time. People can come on. The idea is praying together as a family. We are senior servants of what's called the Church Developers Network. It has about 1,400 pastors and ministers. I said, if I can't get 365 of them to pray, then there's a problem. So we're asking really organizations and churches, because this is church to me, this is my church, to pray just one day. It's real easy to do. We're not telling us what to pray other than 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, then will I, and you know, they got to turn from our wicked ways, as we just heard. Then will I hear from heaven. I'll forgive their sin and heal their land. Our land is in need of healing. And God's going to do that. He's going to do that. And it takes us praying together. So let me pray. God, we love you. You know that. And we love each other as we love ourselves. We don't take this opportunity lightly or for granted. God, it's a plum-pleasing pleasure to be here to hear from you. God, you said your ways are higher than our ways. Your thoughts, your thinking is higher than ours. So that means that nobody's thinking down here is yours. It's higher. It's higher. God, you allow us to experience some of that. Thank you for the leadership. May you continue to bless them, God. Thank you for the hearers. May we not just be hearers of your word and kid ourselves. May we be doers and engage in this life-saving work that others will see. They say, there must be a God somewhere. If they can come together like that and love like that, God is real. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you.
I'm employed at Bot Radio Network, and the owners, Rich Bot and Dick Bot, are 87 years old, and his son came to Memphis this week for 3 days, and there was one person they wanted to meet with when they came, and they said, someone that's helping coordinate prayer for our region, and this is who they met with. I had him in the conference room, him and his wife, to share the vision of what they're trying to do, because that's the only thing that's going to change our nation is intercessory prayer. That's the only thing. That's the only hope we have right now is prayer. I mean, we can evangelize, but until we get on our knees and broken before God and plead, nothing is going to change in our nation apart from intercessory prayer. Henry, if you could come and challenge us, and then I want to have Gary, when you finish, just give a quick plea about some help we can give to Barat. Okay?
Hey, it's that time of week. So wake up and let's see what we put up. The last week. There's a couple things I want to challenge you on. Awaken Me was started about prayer and fasting. One thing Eagle Heights has done as a church body this week is as Jake challenged the whole church to be in 3 days of prayer and fasting. Fasting is giving up something legitimate for the Lord, obviously food, or it could be social media, could be television. And it's not only giving that thing up, it's spending that time with the Lord. We're all leaders in this room. Who are you leading this year in prayer and fasting? Have you made time to mentor somebody in that area? So as 2022, my job is Hebrews 10:24, and let us consider one another how to encourage. That word means provoke. That's the same word I hear, and I'm not changing this. Somebody that's a Bible scholar, I'm not. It's the same word the angel used when he kicked Joseph in the side. Joseph was asleep. They're getting ready to slaughter Jesus. He said, get up. Get moving. They're coming after Jesus. You need to leave. So that provoking is a startling awake. I hope I startle you each week. I really do. So my question is you, when's the last time you fasted? Oh, man, I'm meddling with myself now. I'm not going to tell you. Thank you, Jake, for encouraging me to do something that I know I'm supposed to do. I just don't do it, right? Jesus didn't say come to church. He said go. Go make a disciple. So let me ask you this. The last week, how many people have you engaged with the gospel? You know, you can't manage that if you don't measure it. So I'm going to give you a little help. As you walk out of this room, it's between you and Jesus. Write on that board back there a number from zero to however many gospel shares you think you had. I just would like to know. And I'm not going to know who wrote them on the board. Some people have already put some gospel shares on the board. And I want to tell you, I am humbled by some of you guys going after this with such tenacity. You've encouraged me just by your number. Wow. One of these days, I want to be like you. But how many gospel shares did you personally have? Now, when I mean a gospel share, I mean you talked to someone who's far from God about the death, burial, and resurrection. It's not having just a spiritual conversation. So that's between you and the Lord. And I hope that puts you out of your comfort zone just a little bit. Let me tell you what happened Sunday. This was really neat. We had a student, she had to be there because she's in practical missions with Mid-South Seminary. She's trying to get her biblical degree, and she had to be there. And, you know, she was really honest. She said, you know, I've never done this. Wow. 20-something years old. Grew up in a Christian home. She never engaged people with the gospel. She had a good time, by the way. We had a pastor show up with about 8 or 10 people from his church. Most of them look my age or more, but they were out there swinging for the fences. They were out of their comfort zone, and they couldn't wait to come back. We had one lady, she'd never been out on the gospel. She went out with fear and trembling, and she ran into someone who was a Muslim background. The other side of that story is God doesn't make mistakes. She started talking to him. Guess what? He was a follower of Isa. Wow, how encouraged was she? She went from shaking in her boots to bold as a lion. It's not your kingdom. It's the king's. The king has given us marching orders, and it's up to us to obey them. So, Gary, why don't you come on up? So my challenge to you is you walk out each week, just write a number down, and just nobody's going to be, and nobody stand around. I'm going to go put that thing outside. So as you go outside and you're on the way to your car, I do not want to know who's writing what number down, but I can't measure what I can't manage, and I can't manage what I can't measure. And I can't tell whether I'm just up here challenging people that are sharing the gospel more than I do, or whether I'm sharing the gospel more than you do. But it doesn't really matter because it's not a competition. But it does matter between you and Jesus, because I promise you, I'm going to go back to what Jake Clunch challenged me for before Christmas. What did you give to Jesus for Christmas? It's not about your present. What did you give Jesus for Christmas? There is only one thing, and he nailed it. He wants a soul. Now, the neat thing is he's the one that does it, but he chose you. I don't know, man. I don't know why he chose me. But he did. And not only that, you say, well, I'm not prepared to go do this. Yes, you are, because you know what he said in 1820? I go with you. You got every gift. You got every resource. You got everything you need to follow this king. And he goes with you. And you're uniquely designed to engage people that he's uniquely prepared for you. But he said, you got to be looking for them. So that's my challenge this week. Oh, man, Steve Bitterick, I'm going to give a shout out. Here's a genius way. You know what? You don't go fishing without bait, do you? He talked to 45 people. He brought a thing of hot water, and he went to Costco and bought a thing of Swiss Miss. Free hot cocoa. It was about 47 degrees. Wasn't real cold, but it was cold. I brought my water. I got to talk to 3 people. That's kind of like catfishing with, you know, artificial bait versus worms. Man, they figured out the worms. So I don't care. Bring candy. Bring yourself. Bring nothing. People still get gospel shares. But the bait, you know, we have fun. We're not out there running after people. We're not out there running people off. We're out there showing people that Jesus loves them. It's a lot of fun. It's fun sharing Jesus. Please come. And if you can't come on Sunday, that's great. Start your own wherever you want to go. And then maybe we'll come join you on a different day. But we got to pick some day, and we got to pick some time. So that's my message to you this week. Who are you mentoring in Hebrews 10, 24, and 25? Who are you encouraging? Who are you provoking? Who are you pushing out of your comfort zone? And so Great Commission, Sheffy's. We're going to be moving to 3:30 soon, but right now we're at 3 o'clock. You'll be done about, I think I was home at 5:33, 2.5 hours. We got 3 gospel shares. That's a pretty good return for my labor. And some people got a lot more. Steve Bitterick, them got 45 conversations started. He needed help. We need more people out there around him. The playground's a hotbed. The hot cocoa's a hotbed. Wherever Dr. Potter goes is a hotbed. They just bring the whole family. So bring your family if you want. You don't have to come by yourself. I've talked enough. Gary?
Gary, you keep it about 3 minutes.
Okay. I work for Southeastern Freight Lines. My wife, Mary, and I live in South Haven. I go to Brit Hadashah, and I have a ministry called Sounding the Shofar. Look, we have the likes of David sitting. We have the likes of Henry to just inform us and to keep us on our toes, all of us. And I love how Henry just holds us to the fire. I mean, you know, true accountability is to have someone to tell you not what you want to hear, but what you need to hear. And that's what Henry does. He holds us all. And some of you are experienced pastors. He holds your feet to the fire about who you contacted for the Lord. And me too. And I'm the prodigal believer. Trust me, I am. But in either case, folks, I went and attended a conference here. Some of you might have too. 4 days right here about a week or two ago about how to talk with the Muslim communities in over here and over there. In the Middle East, and it was wonderful. And Barat and his wife Val, I don't know their last name, but we have a picture of them if you need a face with that. He shared and Val shared about their work that they have done in their country. Literally, Val was shot by a gun, like from here to this brother Alvin here, that close, and it missed. Barat was imprisoned by ISIS. This man went before, as a believer, went before dignitaries in his country and prayed, and they sought him out. I'm talking about whatever the prime minister or whatever you call it in those countries, sought him out to pray. And then he eventually had to leave. He had to leave. It was up to a week for him to leave. He came to, he had $2,000. He had nowhere to go. He says, where will it take me? It took him to Detroit. And he's like, Lord, why Detroit? I'm from Detroit area. And so it's gloomy up there because of the Great Lakes. So anyway, he went there, and he doesn't realize at the time that Detroit has the biggest center for Muslims in one of the in the country. When they voted back a while ago with the blue thumb, it was in Dearborn, where I'm raised from Garden City, just west of Detroit. Dearborn's where my aunts lived, okay? So Barat's doing that ministry in Detroit and other places around the world. And he is, and he went before the dignitary. The White House, both the Trump and the Biden presidency, brought him to Washington and various places to solve situations that only he, through prayer and just his testimony, could solve. So this guy is amazing. He has a tremendous testimony with his wife. So anyway, Barat is in need of a car. And, you know, I told David, David gets this message. I never know if it's just to me or if it's to everybody, because I was responding to David. I'm like, is anybody else getting these messages I'm sending to David? I still don't have that answer. But I said, David, I have a heart for Barat. I heard his testimony. I said, you know, I thought today about selling or giving him my Escape, my wife's car. It's a 2012, I think, the old version. It has about 115,000 in it. It's in great shape. It has a little nicks on the outside, but it's in good shape. And I told my wife, I said, gee, you know, what do you think? And she's like, we can't do that. I'm still working. My wife's, she's 14 years older than me. We've got to pay our house off. You know, it's like, no, we can't do that. I said, well, okay, you're right. And so I'm like, David, I can't do that. I says, but maybe we could take a collection at Zoom, our prayer, and we can, or here, and we can take a collection for Barat. The man is, he's a wizard for testimony. Can we get up some money? Maybe you guys can buy my Escape. And I'm from Michigan. I'll drive a car. Maybe Henry's got a car on his lot that is a halfway decent car. I'll drive it. I have a tractor trailer license for Southeastern. I still can drive anything, any big rig, any tanker, anything. I'll drive up to Michigan. I'm familiar with the area. I'll stay with my brother at night and come back with a new car because we have good credit. You know, we're going to get a new car before she retires anyway. But look, the guy needs a car. I don't know the solution. I'm just putting it out there. Thank you.
Yeah, this this story of Barat is incredible. He helped broker getting 18,000 Afghans out of Afghanistan with the U.S. government by contacting the leaders of his company, his country. I'm not going to mention the country. And they did a stay. They had to have a place to land before they came to America. And this man is genuine. Trump summoned him to the White House. Biden summoned him to the White House. He's legitimate. He was here at the conference. Him and his wife were both speakers. Henry and I had lunch with him one day. If Jerry and Gary, Jerry Clonch and Gary, if y'all want to know more about this man or Henry, talk to them. We're going to try to help this man get a vehicle somehow and take care of his need, because it's a genuine need. If it's a prayer concern that came out, there wasn't a mass text. It's an individual text that I sent with that. So thank you so much for being here this morning. It's a blessing to just Vince. Thank you, brother. God bless you for that word. Powerful, powerful word. I just can't thank you enough for speaking to my heart this morning. Thank you, Tim. Look forward to your presentation next week. Biblically based. Thank you for bringing your doctor friend. Would you introduce yourself? We normally have first-time people. Would you stand up and tell us who you are? Great. Thank you. Well, welcome. Glad that you're here. Anybody else here for the first time?
And,
yeah, Ken, praying for Ken's health after his brain surgery. And was it safe to say we could have this message the end of the day? Okay. And then this message will be broadcast a couple weeks from now. Let's just close in prayer. Father, thank you again for the worship today. We thank you for speaking to our hearts through the message. We thank you for the testimonies. We thank you for the challenges. Lord, we just commit this day to you. We make our plans, but you direct our steps. Lord, we thank you for this facility that you've opened up to us. We pray for Henry and Lisa. We pray for Lisa. She has this procedure on Thursday, Lord, to just give the doctors real clean discernment. And Lord, we speak peace on her, speak peace on the circumstance and the situation. Thank you for Ken's healing, Lord. We thank you for the successful surgery that you had within his brain cavity, Lord. We thank you for Rebecca, John Matthew's wife, that you're healing through this chemotherapy. Lord, we just thank you for being so good to us. We thank you for your mighty, mighty, mighty grace. And Lord, we just want to tell you we love you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.